Good afternoon and welcome to The Lunchroom, live on Radio Caribbean International. And I'm your host, Calix George Jr. And it is a new day. It's Tuesday, 29th of October, David Andrew, day number 301 of the year 2019. And we're on to show number 164. And on the menu today in The Lunchroom, we'll be discussing monastic, contemplative life in the Christian faith tradition as the Catholic Church in Castries mourns the loss of the founder of the Abbey of Mount of Prayer, Kubari, Mother Abbess Mariano Pinto. And to fill our plate today with that is Monsignor Patrick Anthony. At The Lunchroom, of course, we hope to offer you food for thought as we deliver on our mandate of public enlightenment. And you can help us set that menu with your calls, questions, and your comments. Our mainline number here is 452-3046. That's 452-3046, as well as our WhatsApp number, 724-0008. That is 724-0008. And if you'd like to follow us online, you can do so via our website, rcisaintlucia.com, as well as our Facebook Live feed. Just search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. Of course, if you're still hungry, you can check out Dilla Cuisine participants, Hardest Hard Restaurant and Bar, Eugenie's Delight, KFC, Bozen's and Massey Stores, New Dock Road. And, of course, a few birthday wishes for the October the 29th going out to Miss Therese Morplaisy, Miss Josie Lamontine, and Mr. Desian Yearwood. We wish you all the very best on your very special day. And, of course, if you have any birthday wishes to send out, you can do so via our email, lunchroom@rcistlucia.com. And some notable figures born on October the 29th include the master of Nazi spin, the world's most nefarious spin doctor, Hitler's minister of propaganda, Joseph Goebbels. And it's also the 81st birthday of Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. And she's Africa's first elected female head of state. She became the president of Liberia in 2006 and was, in fact, awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2011. And just a bit of history today. China in 2015 announced the end of its one child policy, which lasted for over 35 years. And now we move on to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you the kind compliments of Tiles Plus and HD Engineering Agents for Inco Tools in St. Lucia. Plus. Come plus. Get your tiles. Plus. We have tile. Plus. We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossejou, Grosile, and Clark Street in J4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
A poor workman always blames his tool. Well, Inco Tools has come to solve this problem. Located in the Evergreen Plaza right next to Massey Stores in Rodney Heights, we give you high-quality, durable tools at unbeatable prices. We stock tools for carpentry, gardening, AC and electrical technicians. We have hand tools, power tools, air tools. We even have household tools for the ladies. We also stock generators, water pumps, air compressors, AC units, refrigeration parts, refrigerants, and solar water heaters. Call us at 452-5185 for more information. Information and ask about our 3-month warranty on all tools. Inco Tools. Make the world in your hands.
Serving now, The Daily Dish.
And welcome back to The Lunchroom. Now, of course, over the next few weeks at The Lunchroom, I do intend to invite guests to discuss issues related to Creole, to the Creole language, and the protection and promotion of our Creole culture. And I'm indeed very pleased to have as my guest today a national advocate, pioneer, and hero in his own right, Monsignor Patrick Anthony, who has fought so fervently and persistently for the actualization of a Creole awakening, a sort of an indigenous reverence for our Creole culture. And Paba, as he is affectionately known all across St. Lucia, has done so as a priest, but also as a scholar and as a nationalist, and in particular through the establishment of the Folk Research Center back in 1975. Now, for this show's purpose in 73, even earlier than that. Now, in this show, for this show's purpose, in some respects, 1983 will be somewhat of a watershed year for the discussion today. Because in October 28th of 1983, the world first began the celebration of International Day for Creole Languages and Culture. And I'm sure lots of people would like to hear from Paba about his thoughts about Junior Creole, where we are headed. But also in 1983, on January the 15th, I believe, at Kubari, a group of Benedictine nuns led by Mother Mariano Pinto laid the cornerstone for a monastery, a place of prayer, work, and contemplation here in St. Lucia. But unfortunately, a few weeks ago, after battling illness, Mother Mariana succumbed to her illnesses and left this world for her maker, of course, to a higher altar. And so today's show is in fact meant to be dedicated to her memory and a sort of a reflection on contemplative life. However, I don't think, Paba, you would be allowed, or anybody would forgive us for if we went forward without having some sort of a conversation about Junior Creole.
Oh, yeah.
So I think for our dish of the day, we'll give a little kwass of the whole Creole situation here, given that we just celebrated Junior Creole. So again, Monsignor Patrick Anthony, welcome to the lunchroom. And today we will hopefully serve us a little bit of a bouillon in the beginning. Mm. And then we move on to Mother Pinto's finer diet delicacies, okay, as she would have served in Kubari. So, Paba, we continue to be in this sort of state of two forces, mm-hmm, at pulling and tugging at Junior Creole. Right. On the one side, we have the forces of preservation, the preservation of a pure, traditional Creole culture. And on the other side, a view that Creole culture must be more expansive and incorporating new ideas, new persuasions, a fusion, so to speak. And one of the images that comes to mind in terms of the Junior Creole that celebration that just passed was one of Bo Pizza. Mm. And I'm not sure if you know that Creole, that vendor that sells pizza. And that was at Junior Creole. So do you think that a balance can be struck? Can a Creole pizza exist?
Absolutely.
You know, what are your thoughts about our Junior Creole celebrations?
Yeah, you know, bon après-midi tout le monde, nous avons parlé au Creole, quand on a dit un mot sans Creole. Vous savez, le Creole, c'est langue maman, c'est ça nous a poussé. You see, I think there's really a false dichotomy that has been made between what we call the purist and the sort of the modernist or the avant-garde in terms of Creole. You know, from our perspective, as persons who have really been in the vanguard pushing Creole consciousness, we are saying it's not about purity or anything like that. Because Junior Creole is a phenomenon that emerged out of a movement of self-awareness as Caribbean people, and in particular in St. Lucia, as a Creolophone people. And so we felt it's important to help St. Lucians recognize their identity in the world. So this whole thing about Junior Creole and all that, it's not just about Junior Creole and so on. It's a deeper issue about St. Lucian defining their identity within the global context. And we started that in the 80s. We used a language as one of the principal directors of this thing. But we realized it's not just the language. It was the soul of a people. It was the people's consciousness. It was their stories. It was their sense of values. Tout ça, c'était boudin, bouillot, Saint-Lucien. So we're trying to help Saint-Lucians to recognize that they are equal to anybody, anywhere in the world when it comes to their identity. They have inalienable rights that nobody gave them, only God gave it to them. And for us to understand that, that is why in those early days we were doing the little jingle, culture, the things you do, how you do it, the words you use, the foods you eat, the clothing you wear. So once you understand culture in that foundational way, you realize that really There are no higher cultures and lower cultures. There are no people who are more because of their culture than you are. Everybody, because of their own context, they speak certain languages, they wear certain clothing. If you're an Eskimo, you're not going to wear skimpy clothes. You have to wear thick clothes because you live in a climate that is cold, you know. So one's own location determines one's culture. And so it is a relative thing. All people are equal when it comes to culture. So we try to help St. Lucians, who at the time, you know, were still in the colonial thing about, you know, other people are better than us, their language better than us, their values better than us. We began that movement of saying, part of the Caribbean consciousness that the Caribbean of churches had started, to say, like, Caribbean man, Caribbean woman, discover yourself, discover your inner being, discover your soul. And in those early days, Derek Walcott was the one really kind of influencing us in terms of that. Derek Walcott said, look, when you think of Greek civilization, a few little islands that did not have the military prowess that Sparta had.
Very barren, desert islands. Yeah.
And yet still, these islands dominated the world because of their culture, Greek civilization, Greek culture. So, and he always used that and said, look, the Caribbean archipelago is just like the Aegean archipelago. And says to Caribbean people, discover yourself, discover your identity, discover your values. So it's that process of self-discovery that Derek and other Caribbean intellectuals, Lamming and these guys before, you know, that's what really spurred us on. The Black Consciousness Movement was part of that. So I want people to understand that Junior Creole is not just about a big fete and all kind of that. It's really about a movement in which we have been trying to help St. Lucians to discover their soul, discover who they are, and understand that they are equal to anybody in the universe. But to discover themselves, they have to plumb their history. They have to plumb their experiences. They have to learn from the wisdom of the ancestors. They have to find the things that people used to do, how we related to our environment. A very simple thing, Curdy, that is so relevant today. Take, for example, the problem of climate change. Take the kind of mega storms we're having now. A very simple phenomenon. When these mega storms hit these islands, all the modern buildings are getting devastated. The indigenous buildings are standing up because there is an indigenous technology. That's the wisdom of our people. Mrs. Carrington Dominic has discovered that. There is a technology that our ancestors had, and because they had hurricanes before. So they built according to that. So when we talk about Junior Creole, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that consciousness of our experience, our history, that is there, that we must not abandon, must discover.
Right. But it's very hard for people to strike that balance because everybody's looking at the outward.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not seeming to hear very much about that aspect, the inward development of self, that deeper understanding of it, which may have to come through more dialogue, more, you know, intergenerational exchanges, perhaps.
This is why we've always said that Folk Research Center is a research center. And our focus is children, our young people and our children. It's research. It's not FET. It's not. We are not an events committee. We don't, you know, we do events, but we are not an events committee. We are a research institution. And from our beginning up till now, we've always been stressing you have to do serious research into your own history, into your own understanding, your values and so forth. And we've been doing that. So today, people are talking about, you know, the modern things, contemporary things that somehow or other we don't like or we're not against. We're not against anything. We're not against anything. We think that culture is dynamic. Man is creature and creator of his culture. So what is happening in our popular culture? That's part of St. Lucian experience. So it has a place in our research. But the important thing for us is to research it and say, what is of enduring value and what is transient?
In 4 years' time, it would be the 40th anniversary since the establishment of the International Creole Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, there was, in fact, a language conference which was put on by Folk Research Center to discuss, I believe, where you're at in terms of language promotion. Do you think that by now, perhaps, or within the next 4 years, we should see some movement towards maybe accepting that we are a bilingual society, that we are making Creole an official language? and all the trappings that would have to come with that kind of
From the 80s, when we had always looked at the Quebec experience, mm-hmm. because Quebec was one of the first places that is Creolophone, eh? Because they're right. French, but also there's a Creole. Mm-hmm. They understand our Creoles. And they decided that Quebec made the decision that it's going to define itself as a bilingual community. That was an official political decision by Quebec. You know? And we've been saying that we need to do the kind of education, and perhaps the fact that we've not gone further enough is a failure on our part in terms of the effectiveness of our education, because there's so many people who don't understand the nature of bilingualism. You see, bilingualism is a psychological educational phenomenon. When a child grows up in a monolingual context, that child's brain, that child's mind functions a certain way. That child learns in a certain way. A child who grows up in a bilingual context, their brain functions differently. In fact, they are much more open to learning other languages and other things. So unfortunately, our educators and our leaders in this country have not understood the dysfunction they're doing to our St. Lucian children, who have a capacity that is being underdeveloped.
We have an asset, it's not
an
a liability.
An asset is being underdeveloped.
Yeah.
So St. Lucian children are in a better place than the English child, because the English child has a monolingual framework for his development as a kid in kindergarten. The St. Lucian child, if only could accept that we are bilingual. Because to be bilingual, your mind has to learn to operate and function, because you know how the mind works. Huh? And so it is a tremendous thing if we can get our educators. And unfortunately, you see, all the scholarship that has been done there, huh? Lawrence Carrington, Dr. Paulette Luisi, Hazel Simmons, Isaac, all of these people have done PhD level work for years now. Mervyn Arleen, all of these guys, pointing out linguistically the value of bilingualism for national development. But unfortunately, the message is not being heard.
My parting question for this section of the segment of the show, after so many years, so many decades, I know you're a naturally optimistic person, but are you optimistic of the future of Creole and its place in society?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let me tell you, when in 84, right, we had the first junior Creole in Monrepo. You know what people say? Today, junior Creole is a movement international. It has overcome, it's greater than Christmas. I say to people, it is bigger than Christmas, because there are some people, for religious reasons, who don't celebrate Christmas. Everybody celebrates. Junior Creole is one of the most holistic St. Lucian phenomena. And it was not there before 83. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine? Yeah. So we have created something that has become so national and international for St. Lucian that did not exist. So for me, that is why I'm absolutely optimistic. Let me tell you, Curtie, next 5 years, where this phenomenon will go, we don't know. I mean, just take a simple thing like Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would ever thought that when we were recording our little debots and our little sort of solos, and we're putting on the air, that later on, young St. Lucians would take those rhythms, mm-hmm. put them into a contemporary context, and blow the world, huh?
Millions
today,
of
you know how many yeah. students are doing serious academic research on the phenomenon of the new segment, particularly from the musicology. Mm-hmm. Because you're discovering that. So that's part of what you're talking about. And this is why it focuses on that. Always been about development. Culture as a means for development. It's not just preserving things, archiving. No, it is used as a tool so you can discover the resource and your potential and move out. I'll tell you later on.
Pavel, of course, we know that you need a couple of weeks to talk about Creole at this point in time. So hopefully you can come back when you're less busy right. to maybe focus on the directions as to where we're heading with our Creole culture, our Creole heritage. Mm-hmm. But for this time, we'll have to take a pause at this point so that we can have a little bit of time at least to discuss Mother Mariana Pinto and monastic life. Mm-hmm. So that was our dish of the day.
This has been The Daily Dish.
Plus. Style. Come get your tiles. have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossage Grocery Lane, and Clark Street in J4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
A poor workman always blames his tool. Well, Inco Tools has come to solve this problem. Located in the Evergreen Plaza right next to Massey Stores in Rodney Heights, we give you high-quality, durable tools at unbeatable prices. We stock tools for carpentry, gardening, AC and electrical technicians. We have hand tools, power tools, air tools. We even have household tools for the ladies. We also stock generators, water pumps, air compressors, AC units, refrigeration parts, refrigerants, and solar water heaters. Call us at 452-5185 for more information and ask about our 3-month warranty on all tools. Inco Tools. Make the world in your hands.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. Thanks for sticking with us. And of course, in studio with me is Monsignor Patrick Anthony. And tomorrow is the funeral or memorial service for Mother Abbess Mariana Pinto, and to discuss her life and, of course, the whole tradition of what she represented, a monastic life here in St. Lucia. Paba has graciously accepted to come in to educate us about that contemplative way of life, which is often not seen or understood even by ordinary society. St. Theodore of Studium said that a monk is he who directs his gaze towards God alone and who, being at peace with God, becomes a source of peace for others. Very idealistic description, and it's, in a way, it's a bit of an oxymoron. If you're directing yourself one way, but yet still people are directing themselves to you, it's a very interesting image being created there. The life of a monk, Papa?
Yes, you know, I guess for most St. Lucians, their first experience with monasticism would be like the karate, the monks, you know, the
Buddhist monks,
the Buddhist monks,
Shaolin temple,
and that. Yeah. So the tradition of monasticism is not just Christian. That means global, mm-hmm. all different civilizations, the swirling dervishes of Sufi and so forth. Mm-hmm. So our tradition of monasticism, which we have in St. Lucia, is part of a Christian tradition that goes back to the 2,000 years before. And Mother Mariana came to St. Lucia at the invitation of the late Archbishop Patrick Webster, who was the first St. Lucian to become a monk and the prior of a monastery in Martinique. So he went to Martinique. He wanted to become a priest, and many St. Lucians went to join him. And today in Martinique, we still have St. Lucians who are there as monks. A friend of mine, we're at St. Mary's College together, Sylvester Lawrenson. I went into the priesthood, and he went to the monastery. 50 years now, he's been in the monastery.
Explain that difference for some people, because some people may not understand the difference between priesthood versus becoming a monk.
Yes. A monk is one who dedicates his or her life, because the women are called monks also. The women are called nuns. But the word monk means both men and women, male and female. The monk dedicates his or her life to contemplation. So, for example, the Hindu monks, the Buddhist monks, a life of contemplation. And contemplation on the meaning of life so that they can be now great teachers to others. A wisdom that comes from their own experiences and their own study. Monks are also great students, studying of the scriptures and the traditions and so forth. So Patrick Webster wanted to give his life to that kind of contemplation, prayer, as well as service of others who come around always for counseling or for direction and so forth. So he became a monk in Martinique. And he rose to the point of being the head of the monastery in Martinique. When he was the head of the monastery in Martinique, St. Lucia had Bishop Gachet, who was about to retire. So what happened is that Archbishop Webster, who was then a monk, was appointed Bishop of Grenada, St. George's in Grenada, for a year or so, and then made Archbishop of Castries, St. Lucia. When he was in Grenada, he started a community of nuns. Because he was a monk, he wanted to start a community of monks, but there were more women who wanted interest in life, so he decided he'd leave the monks behind and start a community of nuns. So he started in Grenada. When he became Archbishop of Castries then, he brought them over to St. Lucia. Three nuns who came over with him, but of course he was Archbishop now, he couldn't take care of them. So he wrote to Rome and told Rome that he would like to get some help to establish this nunnery, this monastery of nuns in St. Lucia. And that is how Mother Mariana came to St. Lucia on the 2nd of December, 1975, to help to grow that little community. And, I mean, the rest is history. This woman is a phenomenal woman.
Now, originally from Italy,
from Noci in Bari. Mm-hmm. She entered the monastery in Rome at the age of 15. At the age of 15, she entered the monastery. And she did her studies there in the monastery, then did a university. She did a degree in education, and she became one of the big teachers because the nuns are also involved in teaching in schools. So beside the contemplative work, some of the work is with children, as it's some of the work with the poor also too. So she was involved in education. And from there, when Archbishop Webster asked for assistance, they chose her as the one to come and help him to establish the foundation here. And that's how she happened to come to St. Lucia.
Now, she originally settled in Marsha.
No. When she first came, they were living in a little house in Leclerc, the Remy's, where the Remy's is,
yes.
The house of Remy's there. Then from there, they went to Mayfield.
Okay.
Mayfield there. Mm-hmm. And from Mayfield...
That's at the back of the Ferrans Dairy.
Ferrans Dairy, right. Yeah, up the hill there. And then they went to Marsha,
okay,
which is the Archbishop's house,
mm-hmm,
until they eventually went to Kubaril in 1983, you see. And it's in Kubaril they established themselves and built their monastery and their guest houses and things like that. Of course, it was a big journey for them because there was a lot of opposition when they went to Kubari. A lot of the people in Kubari said, Kubari is a very cloistered.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bird sanctuary. And even to build there, you had to sign covenants that your roofs would be green, that you would not cut down trees. Okay. So it was a bird sanctuary. So when the nuns were offered by the devotees this place up there to come and build a monastery, the neighbor said, look, you bring a monastery there now, and everybody will start coming there, and then they'll be ringing bells, and they'll be disturbing and whatnot. And they were right. Because the monastery transformed Kubari from an elitist enclave to a popular, open place to everybody.
Talk a little bit about, Sister Mariana, Mother Mariana, was of the Benedictine order.
Yes, right.
And many people may not understand these so many different orders,
yes,
and rules.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And how these really function. But the Benedictines are one of the oldest orders in the Catholic tradition.
They are, first of all, we have to understand that they are all different kind of monks. As I mentioned, they are Hindu, Buddhist, Iranian, all kind of monks. Christian monks is one category. And within the Christian monastic tradition, you have different congregations. So you'd have, for example, the Salesians. You have the Trappists. Now, the Trappists are a special group. They are monks who, we say, they speak by silence. They only use signs. Part of their own vow is that they are going to utter no word. Now, you may say that.
Yeah, people see that in the movies quite often. Yeah. Like Buddhist monks, they can't speak.
Why? Because, you see, they are what are called a counterculture phenomenon. They say the world is so much full of noise and talk, all kind of empty talk and useless thing that does not develop human civilization. So they are now becoming a witness to that the human spirit can be the opposite of what is outside there. So they make that decision that they are not going to speak. So they're just going to live and work and use signs as the language of communication. Of course, you can see also for differently abled people too. What that means, yeah? Because they're the ones who really started the whole phenomenon of signs. Mm-hmm. So differently abled people could use that. So they're different groups of nuns. So in St. Lucia, we have a particular group called Benedictines. They were started within the tradition by a particular monk called Benedict. Benedict was a very prosperous, successful Roman soldier in the early Middle Ages who got fed up of the kind of licentious life, and he decided to follow the ancient monastic traditions in those days. And he went into the hills and he lived in a cave. And a lot of monastic movements started like that. People were leaving the world and going to caves so that they can have their time of solitude for reflection, for contemplation, and self-will. So Benedict went to a place called Subiaco. And there he lived in a cave, and others eventually started joining him. And so the Benedictine tradition started. But Benedict himself studied some of the more ancient monastic traditions, like from St. Basil. Basil was an Eastern monk, because they're different traditions that I mentioned. Right. And Benedict took Basil's tradition and he established his tradition. But we also have the Augustinian monks. You know, so there are several different kinds of monks.
And many of these traditions, as you mentioned, Eastern, but also Africa. Africa played a very critical role in terms of monastic life.
In fact, one of the sources of monastic life in Europe came out of Africa. Because the one who is called the father of monasticism is Anthony, my namesake. Huh? Mm-hmm, right. Anthony of the desert. And he was in the African desert. You see? Yeah. It was in the northern coast of Africa, what is now Tunisia and those places, that in those days were the centers of civilization. Augustine of Hippo, mm-hmm. one of the greatest scholars the Western world had ever known, is African from that area. So those, Anthony of the desert went up into the hills, and he started this movement of what are called desert monks. And by the time Anthony died, there were about 900 of those clusters of caves. Eh? They lived in caves. People can go and visit them now. They lived in caves. And the community would come together for prayer, for sharing reflection, and then go back into the cave. So Benedict had heard about Anthony and all of his work, which Basil had translated. So from that, he took it and he developed his own rule. And he said that they will not live in caves as such, they will live in communities. And so the rules were developed for living in community. But the real monk began as a hermit, what's called a hermit, a monos monk. Monos means one, from the Greek monos, one. So the original monk is one, but in our tradition now, we have them living together in community, but trying to keep the spirit of the monos.
Right. And in fact, with the case of Mother Mariana, she was also an evangelist. And I'd like, when we're going to take a break for the weather in a little bit, but I'd like you to tell us about that whole evangelization, not only here in St. Lucia, but her work in Zambia in particular. So we take our break for the weather at this point in time, and we'll be right back.
Fritas, fritas! Come and get your fritas here! We're giving them away at Island Style. Tell them that!
So are you mad? What do you mean, fritas?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles free!
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal! And good timing too, so I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas! And look how nice those tiles are!
Fritas, fritas! Ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception! Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4, or call 452-450 or 453-TILE!
A Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number. This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the Weather News.
Let's now take a look at the latest weather report as of 12 noon today. It's the 29th of October 2019. Our forecasters this hour, Venantius Descott and Hycynthia Camille. The present weather at Uranora Fair, partly cloudy at George Charles. Present temperature at Uranora, 31 degrees Celsius or 88 degrees Fahrenheit. And last night's minimum temperature at Uranora was 26 degrees Celsius or 79 degrees Fahrenheit. The wind at Uranora is blowing from the east at 13 miles per hour or 20 kilometers. And after a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., 0.5 millimeter for rainfall was recorded at Uranora and 1.2 millimeters was recorded at George Charles. Total rainfall for the month of October thus far, 69.9 millimeters at Uranora and 127.7 millimeters at George Charles. Sun will set today, 23 minutes before 6 and rise in the morning at 2 minutes before 6. Now for the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing from the east near 14 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. And the weather, fair skies, occasionally becoming cloudy with some scattered showers, mainly during the night and the early mornings. A recap of the forecast for St. Lucia valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the east near 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. The weather, fair skies, occasionally becoming cloudy with some scattered showers, mainly during the night and the early morning. The marine forecast foresees in a 25 mile or 40 kilometer radius from St. Lucia. High tide for the Castries Harbor at 7 after 4 this afternoon. The low tide will be at 11 minutes before 11 tonight. And the Vierfort Bay's high tide will be at 14 after 5 this afternoon. And the low tide will be at 16 after midnight. The seas are locally rough. The waves and northerly to northeasterly swells are 5 to 7 feet. That's the same as 1.5 to 2.1 meters in open waters. Small craft operators and sea bathers, you're still advised to exercise caution due to rough seas. Please be guided accordingly. And for the Lesser Antilles, it's partly cloudy skies, or partly cloudy to cloudy skies with scattered showers and possibly isolated thunderstorms across the northern Windward Islands and the extreme southern Windward Islands. Elsewhere will be fair skies, occasionally becoming cloudy with a few showers. So that's for the Lesser Antilles again. Partly cloudy skies to cloudy skies with scattered showers and possibly isolated thunderstorms across the northern Windward Islands and the extreme southern Windward Islands. Elsewhere, it will be fair skies, becoming cloudy with a few showers. The tropical weather outlook indicates lingering moisture and instability over the northern Windward and the extreme southern Windward Islands will cause some scattered showers over the islands. And a tropical wave located over the central tropical Atlantic is moving westward near 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. Again, lingering moisture and instability over the northern Windward and extreme southern Windward Islands will cause some scattered showers over those islands. And a tropical wave is located over the central tropical Atlantic. It is moving westward near 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. That is the official weather report. Join us again in the morning, 6:30. Our next report is due from the Met Service on, at this time. Thank you, Vinanchas, and hi, Cynthia, for the update at this hour. The weather was made possible by Island Style Thailand Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Free tires, free tires! Come and get your free tires, yeah! We're giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Bat!
So are you mad? What do you mean free tires?
Well, madam, for every 100 tires you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tires free!
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal! And good timing too, so I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas! And look how nice those tires are!
Free tires, free tires! Ceramic tires, porcelain tires, all tires, no exception! Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4, or call 452-450 or 453 Tile!
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shamari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer Batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer Brand, the best-priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264-4450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. I'm your host, Alex George Jr., and in studio with me, discussing the life of Mother Abbess Mariana Pinto, who came to St. Lucia as far back as 1975 and established the Mount of Prayer Kubari at Kubari, and a monastery which eventually became elevated to an abbey. Perhaps you could just explain that very briefly to us. If there's a difference,
You see, in fact, there are three stages in terms of development of a monastic community. So again, you might have seen that when in the Shaolin thing, yeah, you would have what's called a priory.
Mm-hmm.
So a priory is a small community. When you have a few monks living together, it's called a priory. When your numbers reach a certain number, it's elevated to what's called a monastery. And after a certain number of what are called professed nuns, it becomes an abbey. So, you see, it's just like, again, with the Shaolin and these karate things like that. You have novitiate, time of training. In fact, before that, you have what's called aspirancy.
So if you're just interested.
You're just interested, right. Okay. When you first enter, you have what's called your postulant.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend a certain period of postulancy. Then there's what's called novitiate. You become a novice. After a novice, then comes after about 3 or 4 years, you have your first profession. After your first profession, you have the renewal of your profession. And you can renew your profession 3 or 4 times until you come to the point what's called a solemn profession, where finally you decide that you have made up your mind that this is the life that you will live permanently. That's called solemn profession. So a priory is a collection of monks who are different stages, postulancy, novitiate, and first profession, whatnot. If you have a certain number, then, of professed nuns, you are elevated to a monastery. And if you have more than 8 solemnly professed nuns, you are elevated to an abbey, you see? So this is the distinction between a priory, a monastery, and abbey. So when we first started in terms of it was a priory. Then eventually, as more nuns came and they got their profession, they became a monastery. Once there were over 9 solemnly professed, then it was elevated to an abbey. So when you hear about the famous abbey churches all around, that's what it means. They have a certain number of solemnly professed nuns.
Before we actually speak about evangelizing and Zambia in particular, tell us a little bit about the life of a nun or a monk, particularly... You know, we hear from in the Muslim faith, for instance, we hear about praying 5 times a day. But in their tradition, in the divine office, you pray 7 times a day.
Tell us
about the life of a monk.
Again, within the Catholic tradition, within the Christian tradition, you have got Christian monks, you've got Anglican Christian monks, Within the Catholic Christian tradition, we have certain monks, like I said, the Trappists and so forth, who keep a rigid prayer rhythm. So the entire day is somehow involved in prayer. There is time for work, but the entire day is involved in prayer. So even at night, they wake up at midnight, for example, to say prayers. They wake up at 4 in the morning. So you have this rhythm of 7 times a day that the psalmist speaks about. The day is divided into these 7 moments at 7 points at which the monk get together. They come together. Come together to pray. Now,
so this is communal prayer, not your personal prayer. Yeah.
Your personal prayer for the monk, you should be praying
continuously.
All the time. And this is where the what's called the rumination. You are reflecting on the word of scripture, reflecting on passages from the word of scripture or from the masters, one of the great writers of the monastic tradition. And as you do your work, you are ruminating upon it, so that insight, and that's the tradition of the Easter, insight comes through rumination, through meditation. We call it meditation, rumination. So you get deeper and deeper insight into life, into human, you know, existence and so forth. In our tradition here at the monastery, the nuns have 5 specific moments. They wake up and they do what's called the office of readings. That starts from 5 o'clock, they wake up, they have the office of readings. After office of readings, they go and they do some of their early chores. Then they have celebration of the Eucharist Mass, which is in St. Lucia. This is at 7 o'clock every day. On Sundays, it's at 7:45 to accommodate the public. Then at midday, they have what's called the office of Terce or Sect or Non. Then in the afternoon, at 3 o'clock, but in St. Lucia, sometimes they do it a little later, depending on what they have, you have what's called Vespers. And then in the evening, you've got what's called Compline, or night prayers. And so you've got, these are the 5 moments for over here. But I say in others, whereas our nuns here go to bed at about 9, 10, depending on what's happening there. Some of the monks in other traditions, they go to bed at a very early hour. That's about 8 o'clock. So they can be up at midnight. And they can be up at 4 o'clock. And so forth. Keep a rhythm. So it's a life rhythm around prayer. For the monk, basically, you can say, it's a life of contemplation and prayer. With the Eucharist and the Word of God as a center. Everything else, all of the actions, the relationship with people, all of that stems from that core prayer life.
Now, of course, the balance between prayer and work is also very important.
Ora et labora.
Exactly. And in the case of Mother Mariana, her work, one could say perhaps, was a lot of hospitality.
Absolutely.
She was very famous for,
for
that.
Absolutely. See, St. Benedict has always said that you must always see in the stranger Christ. So hospitality is one of the most important attributes. And this is why the monastery is known for being such a warm and welcoming place, and the hospitality extends even to the culinary arts. I mean, the cooking, there's best cuisine in the region, we say, the Caribbean, you know. And they're just, and you ask, people who come there and say, but the food is so extraordinary, I ask it. But I say, our cooking is flavored with love. Flavored with love, you know. And the other thing about the monk, and it's reflected in my mind, is a passion for the poor. And this woman had an extraordinary passion for the street people, the needy and so forth. All the fundraising events that they have in monastery are for poor people. St. Lucy's home and so forth. Huh? The children's home for the children. The Arthritis and Lupus and Arthritis Association. All of these. They would do what they can to help. Besides that, they themselves offer meals to St. Benedict Center so that they can feed the poor at St. Benedict Center. So there's a tremendous ministry of service for the poor. Besides the service for the poor, of course, there are the people who come to them, the poor who come to them, for counseling and for guidance. You know? So they're involved in that. They're also involved in education in the sense that they open the monastery for conferences and meetings and things like that. They also have weddings and things like that, which are also ways in which they help offer hospitality, and they also earn a bit of a livelihood from that too. But like the monastery is a place where all the schools come there. All their retreats are done in the monastery because they're lovely grounds. There's a church there. So school children are there all the time and all the time. And the monks, the nuns help them to understand that they can give their lives in service to God and service the church. I want to tell you a story about this, the vision of Mother Mariana. This woman is such an extraordinary woman that when they were living at Hospital Road in the former residence of the bishop, the bishop told them, of course, you have to build a monastery, you have to get a place. So they were looking around for a site to build a monastery. They went in several places, different. And then one day, they went to Kubarel. And when she reached the Kubarel, she saw this open, dry place there. There's a polo ground next, you know, where the horses, the polo and so forth. The place is covered with horses. And it's very, very dry. And she sort of learned had potential in that, the space. But it was so rocky and dry. And she said, no, she would look at somewhere else. And then Archbishop Felix had been appointed Archbishop of Castries. So he told her, look, we have to get a place and whatnot. And she said, well, we'll look around and come to Kubari. From the time Archbishop Felix saw Kubari, he said, Mother, that's the place. And she said, okay, well, you've spoken, we'll do it. And that's how they went to Kubari. And if you see Kubari today, the fruit trees, the mangoes, all kinds of fruit have grown out of this desert. That's what I say, the desert has bloomed, you know. And in a place that was barren where the horses used to run before, now you have got a church, you've got a monastery, you've got a guest house, you've got all kinds of things happening. But that is not all. Mother was moved through her brother, who is the head of the Vatican, what's called the Roman Rota, that is the supreme tribunal for the Vatican on marital issues. He has contacted bishops all over the world. And he met Cardinal Mazombe in Rome once. And Cardinal Mazombe was talking about wanting to have a monastery for women in Zambia. They have a lot of different monasteries of different groups. But he says, we have no monastery for women. And he told her, well, you know, my sister has a monastery in St. Lucia. And I will talk to her. And she might be able to help you to establish a monastery in Zambia. Hey, well, the rest is history. So Mother Mariana went to look at that place in Zambia. And they offered her a vast area of land in Lusaka, the capital of Zambia. Yeah. But she said, look, no, the monastic life is not for the capital. It's for, you know, recluse. And she wants to be in a place where the nuns will have their peace and silence, but also to adjacent to the poor, where they can minister to the poor. So instead of going to Chipata, where the cardinal wanted to go, she went look to Lusaka. She went looking around, and she came to a village called Chipata. And in a village called Chipata, the bishop told her that, you know, the needs are so great. There are all of these villages, and there's no work for them. If they can help her, help him. So she went to a place called Mutsipazi, a cluster of 15 villages. And it is there she saw an area of barren land. She said, we can build a monastery there, and we can help you to establish a monastery in Zambia. And Curdy, the rest is history. This, Mother Mariana went there. And from a dry, barren area, the woman was able to eventually build a church, a monastery, the area and among the villages, there was no police station. Because these are 15 villages ruled by Okan. She was able to establish a police station so that law can be brought in there. There was no clinic for people to try to get any kind of health care. They had to travel miles and miles and miles on dirt road and whatnot. She was able to build a clinic right within the cluster of the 15 communities. But not only that, the people were growing their agricultural products, and a lot of it was wasting because they couldn't sell it quick enough and whatnot. So she established a massive warehouse where they can store things, and things can be transported from there to market in the city. But more than that, and this is one of her big things, is the school. There were hundreds of children just roaming the village when people like herself come. They weren't many of the streets and all. She said, but look, no schools. Schools are hundreds of miles away. He said, well, we have to build a school. The lady built a school now. This school now has 400 children in that area. But more than that still, one of the things when we went there, I've been there several times myself before we found one, and water to see, Curdy. The where people are drinking, the water the people are drinking, in a place where the animals and the people are fighting to use the water. And they take the water, push the animals aside. And when Mother saw it, her heart was broken. And she said, oh my God, no, we have to do something like that. She contacted some of her persons and engineers and so forth, and they said, look, we can build, we sure can do artesian wells if we do artesian wells. She said, how much does artesian well cost? About 5,000 or so US. We're going to try to get the funding. You know, to date, woman has established 12 artesian wells so that the people in those 15 villages has potable water. The children can drink potable water, go to school and water. So, I mean, the work that's been done by the monastery that was built from St. Lucia in Chipata is just phenomenal. But not only that, too. She was just about to start another monastery in Peru, in a place called Huacho in Peru, where a bishop who had heard of her work in Zambia. Said, look, you know, he's got all of these places there where he needs to have a contemporary life. And she was in the process of doing that when the illness got hold of her. You know? So she's a phenomenal. One of the bishops described her as a phenomenal nun. And the Holy Father himself, who has been following because of a brother who is close to the Holy Father, he has always been sending greetings to them and whatnot. They visited him several times. For his death, he sent a personally handwritten note, and I have a copy of it right here in his own hands, handwriting. Pope Francis. It's dated the 20th of October 2019. May Mother Mariana be received in the communion of the saints. She will obtain from God the necessary assistance so that the two monasteries may be places of light and love towards the poor. I bless you all and your beloved one, Francis.
Wonderful. You would expect that her work is going to continue, the legacy of certainly...
Absolutely.
It's the possibility of...
A seed in the ground has grown, become a big shrub in St. Lucia, in Zambia, in Peru and beyond. Beyond, oh yes, absolutely. So her funeral will be held tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes, tomorrow at the Abbey. And, you know, people are talking about, why don't we do it at the cathedral, but the cathedral on the repairs and so forth. But not only that, the grounds at the Kubarel are fantastic, you know. And it's just coincidence that Cardinal Felix was telling me that when they were building the church, she told Mother, you know, make sure, with the beautiful grounds you have got there, and where you're putting the church on an elevated place, make sure you put a nice, lovely platform of steps, because one day you may be able to have a ceremony on those steps with people all around. And tomorrow, that's for the first time, we're actually going to be doing that. We'll be using this front platform and step as an altar, and there are tents all around so that we can take hundreds and hundreds of people around. So we want to invite everybody who knew Mother and who loved the work that she had been doing to come to the funeral. We begin at 2 o'clock with tributes and so forth. And then after that, we'll follow the funeral. And then interment will be in the cemetery that is just next by. We have parking is not a problem, because besides the monastery parking also too, We have the open space next door, opposite by the hospital
right,
there.
Right.
The entire area there, we bulldoze all the old grass that was there, so we can take hundreds of cars literally inside there. Right. So parking is not a problem.
And the hospital, perhaps.
The hospital parking, yeah, if we need for overflow, you know. So we're starting at 2 o'clock. It's going to be a wonderful moment, tremendous moment. And I think St. Lucian, who have recognized the work that the Mount of Prayer has done for this nation. Every first Saturday, hundreds and hundreds of people have come to this place for healing, for counseling, for guidance. It's a Mount of Prayer. So many students, hundreds, I mean thousands of children.
And quite a number of persons are coming in. I know, for instance, Dr. Winston Paris has
Paris is there with bishops coming from Peru, coming from Zambia, from all around the place. They're coming in. And it's going to be a wonderful occasion. And so we invite everybody to just, let's come and help to give this, show our gratitude to God for the gift of this monastery. Because the monastery is called the pearl of the church. You know, one thing about a monastery is that because it's a place where prayer is going on all the time, it is a place where you can say literally that a nation is being offered prayer. And you know, some people don't know that. But some of the most delicate negotiations, political and otherwise, for the future of St. Lucia, took place at the monastery, secretly, secret meetings at the monastery. So the monastery has played a role in all kinds of ways in St. Lucia, in the life and the future of St. Lucia. So, Mother Mariana Pinto, of blessed memory, we're going to lay her to rest tomorrow, and we invite nation to join us.
And the celebrant tomorrow is Cardinal Felix.
Principal celebrant will be Cardinal Felix, yes, yes. And we'll be streamed live also, too.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Monsignor Patrick Anthony, for sharing the life of Mother Abbess Mariana Pinto. Certainly a jewel and an amazing woman who has made an amazing contribution here in St. Lucia. And tomorrow, if you are interested in joining us, we would have in studio, my guest will be Mr. Peter Lansico. And on Thursday, I'll be speaking with a young human rights activist over in Dallas, Texas, doing some very interesting work, Ms. Safia Paul. So thank you very much, listeners. Apologies for not being able to take any calls today, but I think, Father, I think it's well worth it to ensure that you can speak freely and completely on two very important issues, of course, Juné Creole, but as well the life of Mother Abbess Mariana Pinto. So thank you very much, listeners, and all the best for your day. I'm your host, Cali Shores Jr., saying goodbye.